In the church of the first century, it was a very interesting tradition. At this time, 12 apostles, after the famous events, went into different directions, and they were founding churches. Well, they would come to the churches, they were preaching, they saw people there, they appointed presbyters. By the way, presbyters back then did not mean a clergyman, it was an archbishop. Presbyteros meant a principal man. So what was the system of appointment? It's another matter. But the main thing is that they were organizing communities. It was like in Ephesus, Corinthus, Galati. And suddenly someone would come, and he would say, "Yeah, I am a preacher of Christ as well." Everyone was looking at him, and whether it was true or not, it was not clear. It was the first century, the century, especially if we speak about the beginning epoch of the Emperor Nero. It was the century of horrible oppressions when they used to say the Christian to the lion. You must have seen the movie Quo Vadis, and you must have read the book by Sienkiewicz, and you might remember what is depicted there, what abominable scenes are depicted there, and you must have seen the amphitheater in the movie with 60,000 people, with 60 people on stage, of men and women, and a bit farther from them there was an iron grating behind which leopards, hungry leopards were jumping, they're waiting for prey. And here, in front of this mass, this enormous audience, the grating starts moving up, gradually, not fast, and the leopards want to rush through the gratings, and they do rush through the gratings, and in front of this enormous audience, suddenly these wild beasts attack the pile of poor people, and they start tearing them apart, moanings, groanings, bloodshed, horror. That was the epoch. The beginning, if you wish, the beginning of the Christian era. So the beginning when Jesus Christ was sentenced to the most abominable execution. But they could have just beaten him with stones. Do you remember Stephen, Archbishop, was beaten by stones and that's it? No. We beg our pardon, it's too mild. What a hatred when they saw for sure that this was him promised by Moses. How did you see him? Not only with the mass of wonders, but the sentence was taken when he resurrected the four-day stinky Lazarus. It was clear who he was. Now, you think, self-conscious of people, when they made sure that this was him, they determined to kill not only him, but also Lazarus as a bystander. That's what we face. Is it horrible? Yes, it is. This is the illustration. What I'd like to tell you about, that this is in this first century when the oppressions began and they went on up to 317, there were not only those people who would accept Christianity sincerely, but there were also people who were intentionally interfering with the societies where the group of Christians was situated in order to send the Christians to the lions. For that reason, we can see now that in the first century, in the very first century, in the very first century, when a preacher would come to the community, well, for sure, some was speaking, some was preaching, it was not always enough, not only because he was a sincere man, but there was another thing to mean. There were many preachers who did not know, in fact, they were not preaching Christianity, but they were preaching pure Judaism. For that reason, everyone who came to this community, so the first thing he started with was he was preaching how he believed, who he was. How could people get to know who he was? And he used to say who he was in fact. Not that we are used to, well, to saying now, I was born on that day and I was baptized on that day, so how do you believe? That was the viewpoint that was very substantial. Everyone would understand who he was. How Christian a man he was, or he was not what he seemed like. And the rule was effective for several centuries, for people to understand who would come to him. So, do you understand what I'm driving at? Who is Osipov who came to you? Maybe it's not me, it's not the man who you need. Where did he come from? Where did he spring from? Isn't it true? So that what you see now. That's I made the introduction for only one reason, because I'd like to tell you how I believe, and you need to, and you must determine, determine in different ways, by stones, by eggs, by tomatoes, by flowers, or words of praise, in different ways. So there's the atmosphere of no limits, full non-limit atmosphere with all possible methods. So when we Christians gather, I'd like to express my regret that when we often gather, we blabber all the time. We blabber about anything but Christianity. So about anything, about politics, events, rumors, jokes, anecdotes. Well, we Christians, why shall we speak about Christianity? We know everything about it. So let other people speak about Christianity. We don't need anything. What a pettiness, in fact. So, and you must have noticed very often. So it happens in almost all the societies, both in layman societies, in monastic societies, in clergyman societies. So we speak about anything, but we don't often speak about Christianity. What's all about? What is it? The Christian. So I put words on my breast, so I'm Christian. Or I put on a cross on me. Or I say that I baptized, and that's it. So, and I took communion. So to this I have objections. We beg your pardon, Judah took communion as well. And in the Holy Book, what is written in the Holy Book? So with the peace of communion, not Jesus Christ came into him with his holiness, but the Satan himself came into him with his might. So you even can take communion, but not with Christ, but with Satan. So do you remember what a reverend Seraphim used to say? That on the earth you took communion, but in the sky you took no one, no communion. The saint Cyril of Jerusalem says, people make the sign of the cross over over you, but the Holy Spirit would not. Who are people? Clergymen. They are clergymen. And the Holy Spirit would not make the sign of the cross over you. Do you hear what Holy Fathers say? So the main thing is to dip you into the water and you are baptized. So, and I am proud of this fact. The whole life I am baptized. And the Reverend Simeon says, baptized at infancy, if then in his life a man does not live up to Christian laws, he would be punished more than non-baptized, because he insulted your holy garment, my God. To hear what he said. Holy Fathers say not what we think about and what we are used to. The main thing is to get baptized. It doesn't matter what we think. And the main thing is take communion, and everything else is secondary. But it turns out that here we take communion, and in the sky we take no communion. But with our life, you do not try to live up to the holy rules, where you can really take the communion, this holy communion, but not what we think. To hear the words about baptism, about community. What is Christianity? So I ask you a question. Do you remember the movie about Zaporozhye? Do you remember the letter to the Sultan? So what is Christianity? Well, do you smoke? Yes. Do you drink vodka? Yes. Do you know my Father in Heaven? Yes. So you are a Christian, man. It sounds like a joke. But are you baptized? Yes, and I was baptized. But do you know your promises? Do you know the promises of baptism? No, I don't know. But what is it? Oh.
So try
to enroll at the party, at the most heinous party, if you don't know its rules and you would not live up to its expectations. But in this case, in case we're Christians, we don't even know the promises of baptism. That's how we understand Christianity. That's how we went down. Do you remember Basil the Great, John Chrysostom, Gregory the Theologian? As compared to us, they didn't know anything. They got baptized at the age of 30. Their parents were a saint, but they did not baptize them. They began adults at the age of 15, 20, 25, and they don't get baptized at the age of 30. So they were lagging behind us so much. We're so wise. We know everything. They didn't understand anything. Do you feel my irony? How we treat Christianity in a formal way. So the main thing is to do. Get baptized, take communion, go to the church. That's it. We are Christians. So I go under Apotrichalian, as they sometimes say. So I confess. So I gave an account about my some sins done. And then I took communion. Thanks God. So what is it happening? So who is wrong? Are we wrong? Or are Holy Fathers wrong? I'd like to pay attention. So what is the difference between Christians and all other confessions? It doesn't matter what. Catholics, Protestants, it doesn't matter whom. Do you think I might point out the differences in these that religions? I'd like to tell you about the most important thing, that orthodoxy means true only what brings salvation to a human being. What is true, what is correct, only what we get from Holy Fathers, what Holy Fathers teach us, the most part. That is the difference of the difference between Orthodoxy and other religions. That's why the lessons of Holy Fathers are true. So, not the tradition. So, we have traditions. Do you remember what traditions we had? Do you remember the 9th century? Only up to the 9th century. 9th century. 700 years. So, only adults were baptized. And starting from the 9th century, both infants started being baptized. They do not understand anything. What Simon theologian said, baptized as infants are imperfect with their minds. They accept imperfect grace. What is it? So how can it happen? So it can happen. We give communion to him every Saturday. So he's 13, 15, 20 years. Where are they? They're at a disco party. They're Orthodox. They're having party. So they were baptized. They took communion all the time. What is Orthodoxy? Can you hear me? One thing is the outer facet, which is not difficult to do. The infant who doesn't understand anything, so we can baptize him in anything, in Christianity, Buddhism, any religion of the world. Or is it something else, something different? What is really orthodoxy? So this outer side of the orthodox life must be the consequence of my understanding, of the human understanding of what Jesus Christ did. What is salvation? And is it really so or not? Where is the criterion? Where is the criterion of truth? Have you paid attention that in Protestant religion the only criteria is sola scriptura? So, and what happened? So it fell apart. So do you respect Jesus Christ? No, I don't. So, well, he is a human being, so I do respect him. He's genius. I do respect him. Can you hear me? So it seems to me like this. Where is the criterion? I'd like to tell you once again, the truth is only what corresponds to the sermons of the most part of Holy Fathers, ancient, from pure church. Do you know why I say a saint? Pure, because there is a big danger which we can witness throughout the whole history, and it came to the contemporary times. Saint people are not because they purified their spirits. No, due to other reasons. We can canonize them as heroes. Do you remember, I forgot it all, in Rome, do you remember the Romans had a temple where in particular not only gods of defeated nations were brought there, but famous heroes, emperors, were canonized in these temples. So it's very easy, a foremost man, everything is okay, so he's a saint. So in this way, the most important thing existing in Orthodoxy would disappear. What is the main thing in Orthodoxy, in Orthodox Christianity? If we go to what these holy fathers say, which I am sure Orthodoxy should stand on. Again, I will tell you that Moscow, Saint Moscow Philaret, he's famous in the 19th century, who was called wise during his life, he says, not a single local church is not guaranteed against false statements. And we can see that on the example of the history of Christianity. How many break aparts were there? How many betrayals were there? So we have to know what we should stick to. First and principal condition is the teaching of holy fathers in the aspect of all those matters we should understand, not our own mundane matters. So we speak about true belief, and this is the first thing which characterizes Orthodoxy. This is the faithfulness to Holy Father's teaching, ancient Holy Father's teaching, because we have gradual degradation of those ancient teachings which were saturated with the grace of Holy Spirit. They were full of holy evidence. They have been gradually degrading. And this process will continue up to the second advent. Do you know what Jesus Christ said? When the human son comes, he will find faith among people. So do you think he will find faith among those people who don't believe, among Christians? Do you think that he will find faith people among Christians? We have just spoken about baptizing, communion. The main thing is to do. But so it doesn't matter how. What is the main thing in Orthodoxy? What is the most substantial thing? I'd like to tell you that Orthodox teaching. Don't worry, I will not tell you the whole story because we'll all get tired. The main thing. What is the main thing in Orthodoxy? Is what Jesus Christ said after those temptations he had on the mountain. Do you know this, don't you? The mountain of temptations, those who visited the mountain know. What were these temptations? You must remember them. The first temptation, because Jesus Christ did not eat for 40 days. So, try not to eat for one day. He didn't eat for 40 days. And the first temptation was... So, it's the most substantial thing. Tell these stones to be bread. So we understand this thing in a very easy way. So he wanted to eat. He was very hungry. So tell these stones to be bread, and you can eat. In fact, this temptation means the whole process of the historic life of the humanity. What does humanity think about? Where all the scientific achievements, what are they directed at? So without labor, we can turn stones into bread. So how do you know how, what lie is it? So the equipment, modern equipment, is it good? Yes, good, good. But wait. So if now the machines start substituting people, where will people live? They will not work anywhere. So what will be the means of their living? So everything will be done by robots, everything will be done by machines. It's great. So do you know what were the strikes by labor people when the factories were launched, when thousands of workers were fired, because one machine can replace thousands of people? What will happen in the future? It is called in this way. So we achieved what we were fighting for. Everything which contradicts our holy spirit, the man's morale, the man's spirituality, it all can bring a man suffering from what he did. So get it all. The stones will be replaced into bread, and he will turn out without bread eventually. So this is temptation. I'm not talking about the tiny moment which was connected with this. The whole gist of civilization means to give abundance to a man. Do you remember what Romans used to say? We have to know panem et circenses, when the emperor was brought to the streets of Roman streets. So bread and performance. We don't need anything else. So we became beasts. That's why the Roman Empire collapsed. Where the whole Holy Spirit evaporates, only beastly nature remains. So now we can say not performance, but parties everywhere. We don't have any holidays, we have feasts. All the church holidays, what do we turn them into? We turn them into parties. We don't need anything else. That's what we need. That is interesting enough. Jesus Christ said, we cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. Do you remember the reaction? Pharisees were laughing at him. How? So how can't we serve the God and mammon at the same time? So we believe that he exists somewhere, and we would worship mammon here as it is. Jesus Christ denies this, and by this he shows, he doesn't show that we don't need all this. Look, when his disciples asked him to teach them to pray, how he said, Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. So he does not object to this. He does not object to this necessity. How we hear in the holy book, these hungry people, where should they go? He fed them himself. What does it tell us about? What should be in the first place, and what should be in the second place? Look for the God's heaven and the truth of him. Everything will come. It is not excluded. Everyone should work. Everyone should earn. It's natural. But the idea, the gist of life should be directed at no bread searching. So, is a man so stupid that he doesn't understand that he will die sooner or later? He will anyway leave everything he has got. And should he give all the power of his soul to this? Where is your intelligence, man? And God said the truth. Look for the God's heaven. So it doesn't mean that you should look for heavenly pleasures. It's a stupidity. You should look for saying things, look for truth, look for conscience. That's what it means. Look for God's heaven to lead a life according to the Holy Scripture. We should not look for heavenly pleasures. That is the main thing. Yes, we all need it. Really, we do need it. So I do it for this. So those who don't work, don't eat, says Apostle Paul. So what is the gist of life? Not in that we will all die in order to reach an eternal life. That is the gist of life. That's the word of Jesus Christ. You should first of all look for God's heaven and His truth. If you wish, it is the law. We at least should look for conscience, to live by our conscience, for our own salvation. Those who will try to live according to their conscience will get everything. They will get everything in a wonderful way. And those who will give their soul to turn stones into bread, they will get sufferings when they will have to fall apart, to leave all these things on earth, and we will anyway have to leave it all. It is the main condition for a human being to be able to speak about orthodoxy. So, searching for this. The main, what is really the main, the most substantial thing which characterizes orthodoxy, I will not tell you about other temptations, pride and other things. I'd like to tell you about the one thing. What is the main characteristics of orthodoxy? Is what Jesus Christ came to us with after all the temptations from devil. So he came up and addressed the people with what? With wonders. To speak about what is in the sky. He did not tell how many angels are there in the skies. He didn't tell anything. It's so interesting what is in the paradise. He didn't tell anything. So then everything will be told. What did he address the people with? I mean, Jesus Christ. He paid his attention to what we even are unwilling to remember. His first word is, "Repent." I don't want to remember what bad I did. It's better not to remember this. When I sin, I think that God doesn't see it. When I do something good, so God, look, give me your blessings. So, God, give me 1 million. Give me 1 million. This is our logic, which works very well for us. Pay attention. It is amazing that, that not with a wonderful word and things which are promised to a man. So it is so good, isn't it? So he didn't tell what will be happening in hell. No, he addressed the people with an amazing word which cannot be placed wholesomely in a man, who does not look for saying things. Repent, repent until it is too late, too late. No one knows how much time left for him to live. If you have intelligence, a man, you should understand this. No one knows. Repent until it is too late. Why is it so important? Because Christianity, if you wish, is the only religion which tells that it is possible to purify our souls. Of what should we purify? Everyone knows. If we do not excuse ourselves, if everyone knows, we should purify our souls. A man cannot stand by angels, by God, if his soul is dirty. The first word Jesus Christ addressed the people with, repent. Godly heaven has come. It's amazing what he told. Further, holy fathers speak about repentance in a very strong way, explaining to us how it is important. So, and we should wonder. So what? So and most of all. So he's a holy man. He reached impossible things, and suddenly he, this holy man, speaks about repentance. I cannot understand anything. So those who pray morning prayers might know the pray, a very short one, a very brief one. God, purify me as I never did anything good in front of you. It means, God, purify me because I never ever did anything good in front of you. Well, didn't I do anything good? So how is it? So he was passing by and gave to a poor man, to a beggar. So here he bowed, he went to the church, put a candle for health and for those who passed away. Do you know how God needs candles? So no, God cannot live without a candle, and all the saints. So do you know? To know how he wrote this, do you know who wrote this pray? The great Mark, who his contemporaries called Earthly God, for his amazing saint. So here he said, God, purify me as I never did anything good in front of you. So how can it happen? So I will tell the clergyman in the future what bad I did. So but anyway, I'm a good man. Let anyone tell that I'm a bad man, but so I will remember this. So that's how good we are. Great saint people thought they were imperfect. If you wish, they saw the holiness of God, this holiness in front of which our whole life is like
a repugnant dirt, solid whirling of life, like a machine is stuck in dirt, as well as our life. So, solid envy, jealousy, empty talks. It's strange, isn't it? So the man is presented with life, and what does he do? Especially funny it is when suddenly people having no high social rank, politics. We need this and that. So everyone is keen on politics. You cannot imagine how they're keen on politics. Politicians have no idea about politics. So we don't know anything. We don't know anything of what is brought up to the people. We know what we do. Oh my God, and we organize fights, struggles, who is to blame, who is right, who is wrong, and we judge everyone. We judge everyone standing in our way. Why? Because I understand it in a better way, better than they do. Who am I wonder? Who am I? So let us think. Even simple things. How can you decipher a riddle with a thousand unknowns? So here we can decipher all the riddles. It's like an example of a bad example of what we do in our life, understanding very well that our life is flowing into only one direction, and we all have a final point we cannot avoid. And we can prolong this point later, but suddenly we reach this point. We have to understand that an internal life which is presented for a man as a human being happens right after their death. So everything is preserved, everything done in this life is preserved, and what anxiety we will have after this point. We can never imagine what emptiness we will have. We can even die of it. The Orthodoxy considers the most important thing in a man's life is consideration, is self understanding, the understanding of the sinness of our life, not 1, 2, 3, 4 sins, but everything, but the whole life is in sin. So understanding of our own sinness, as Ignaty Brenchininov writes, the understanding of our sinness is the primary and foremost God's gift, which precedes all other gifts. All other gifts. So try to tell anyone who is searching for wonders. So he is clairvoyant. Tell him, yeah. So we are looking for clairvoyant people. We're looking for saint people. But we're not looking for our own salvation. How to get rid of my own sin, of my own dirt, but I'd like to get rid of my judgments of everyone. So where is anyone who is doing wonders? Where is a clairvoyant man? So I tell a man straight away, so what will happen? You will die. They're not content. No, they're not content. They want to know what will happen tomorrow, but I will tell what will happen the day after tomorrow. That's it, I told them. I want to pay a special attention to this. Though this statement about the importance of repentance is not the statement said by holy fathers. No, it's the whole Christianity tells. If a man doesn't see his own sinness, and if he does not repent of his sins to himself, so there is no Christianity in it, and we should not lie to ourselves. When I am good, and I am very good, and no one questions this statement, so I have one, two, three, several tiny sins. It's a bad thing. It's a bad thing. It's very pity. So when a man is told that you have cancer, and he responds, you're not right. So here we understand when it concerns our own body, we stop moving fast. But when it concerns our soul, envy, jealousy, self-importance, for example, self-importance, I cannot stand any remark. Greediness. I want to get more money. So you live in a normal way. Live now. I want more. These are very, very bad things which kill our soul. And you cannot understand that if you dive into all this, anyway, you will die tomorrow. So Christianity and Orthodoxy says that an Orthodox man is someone who pays attention to their soul, to what is happening inside it. There is no other thing. There is no other thing, and it cannot be in Orthodoxy. So here, there are things which we do not speak about, and we don't even think about. You know, when a man who is to blame, he gives in. He confesses his guilt. He's in jail. So the feeling of repentance, the feeling of guilt, this is the point. So without understanding of our sinness, it is impossible to be meek. Here, in this case, I can address Jesus Christ as the Savior. So there is a very strong criterion. We can see ourselves in a way that I do something wrong, but anyway, I am indignant. How come am I this? How did it happen that I'm like this? So, if I want, I will be good. Isaac Sirin, the saint man, has got wonderful words. The gift can be not well being, not bows, not praise, not labor in the sake of well being, but it is born from humility. And if we don't have humility, then it is that all the labors and well-beings are senseless. Do you know why it is important? Sometimes people start doing vows, going to churches, and they think that they can earn the God, holy heaven. So, and this holy God heaven is earned by man's humility. So in what sense? God, I see that I die of jealousy, so I cannot do anything about this. So imagine that my neighbor has got a better car, and I cannot do anything about it. And vain glory, and other things. So it turns out when a man really is willing to purify himself of this dirt, so he will see that it is not that easy. And if you do not address God with a prayer, God, excuse me and help me, you will not be able to do anything. So it turns out that we need a prayer. And do you know what we do about a prayer? So we can come to the church service, we can dream about anything, about everything, about our neighbors, relatives, everything. So church service is a great time for dreaming. Thank God. So it's great. Or you read through the praise. So those who read morning or evening praise, so you read through praise. Oh my God. So try to approach your chief and start talking about anything and at the same time turn your back on him and think about anything else. So you will be ousted from the room straight away. My Father in heaven, we address him. So, and we often do not really pray. We don't get anything because we do not pray. We do not pray at all. We changed the pray for reading through the pray. Oh my God. Once I was standing in the church and I saw a monk counting her rosary. So how can we count the rosary with such a speed? So we cannot pray with such a speed. How could it happen? So we do know that we can get used to pray with no attention. We can get used to praying with no attention. Ignaty Brancheninov writes that praying with no attention is not just empty talk, but the insult for God. Those who want your praise to be heard, is pay attention. If you're not attentive, get back and be attentive. What really teaches us to pray is the prayer, God, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me. Here I can stick to attention. If the prayer is longer, then I fly into the clouds. Without a prayer, there is no religion, not only Christianity, but religion. With no prayer, there is no orthodoxy. You cannot substitute a prayer for just standing through the church service or reading through something. We need to learn to pray. Only in this case we can gradually get into the tight, what is called orthodoxy. With no prayer, it is impossible. Those who want to learn to pray, I advise you read the saint Ignaty Brancheninov. He's a wonderful teacher of the 19th century. He's wonderful. You have to. You can read his books. With no prayer, there is no orthodoxy, and let's not lie to ourselves. God does need our formality. God does need our standings in churches. Our reading through, give me your heart, God says. Give me your heart, but not chattering, which we always call a prayer. If a man a little bit starts being attentive to himself, starts looking into his own soul, if he starts repent of his sins, so he lies and here, God, forgive me. So he boasted of something. God, forgive me. We need to repent straight away. A clergyman needs the most important thing, what the soul is aching about. So I give you an example. So I set you an example. When a car goes by us onto the dirt, and the dirt stains our cloth, so we start cleaning our coat straight away. That's the way we have to take care about the purity of our soul. Read Ion Kanstatsky, the way he reads, the way he writes. So God, forgive me, forgive me. That's and here straight away I started feeling freedom in my soul. Yes, God gives forgiveness straight away, but we need to sincerely address Him. Orthodoxy is the aspiration for purity, in life, for purity in our soul, but not the formality. The orthodox formality. The chorus was singing in a very good way, so in the church I liked everything. I enjoyed it, so a great form. But the gist should be in everyone present in the church service. During the church service, it is important to listen to the words of the songs, and or to read Christ's prayer. Thus, we can concentrate on the prayer, and it will help us get closer to God. We live as godless people. We cannot pray. What do we do? So we put candles, write names. Who needs it? Where is our fight with passions? Where is our repentance? Where is our real prayers? God, have mercy upon me. Help me to get rid of this dirt. That's what we have to do. God doesn't need anything. We need everything. God is a doctor who is ready to respond our pleadings. Especially God responds to the pleadings of the soul, which really addresses Him with humility. So today it is Sunday, and it was a very interesting sermon in today's church ceremony. And today it was very pleasant to talk about this topic, not about politics, not about miscellaneous, but to speak about what we need for our soul, That's the way we are speaking about today. So if you have any questions for our soul, please feel free to ask me. Once I accidentally met the icon of this monster of a man of the 17th century who was killed by people in Vitebsk in 1623, Ion Savd Kuntsevich, who was doing everything to Christians to recruit them into Union religion. So my question is that in the 19th century the Roman Pope called him the patron of Poland and Russia, and that makes me angry. And that's how can we call him the patron of Russia? What shall we do? And there, one man killed another one, and they say he is a hero. What can we do? Yes, it's a pity. I regret. It will be worse. I'd like to tell you that Antichrist will be the Savior. He will do the biggest wonders even Jesus Christ did not do. That's what he will be, and people will flock to him, so they will get everything, bread and everything. So he's a genius of a universe, and people will come to him. So what can we do? It's a pity. We cannot do anything about it. So if I were an emperor of the universe, so I will do order here, but God doesn't let me be an emperor. No emperor can do anything about it. This is the final point forever. Margarita, I would like to know about the famous fig tree. Oh, fig tree! I see everything, so I got it. I'm not interested in the details, but the tree dried out. So as the apostle said, that he didn't have time to gather figs. I do not understand the meaning of this phrase. So he went to look for it, but there were no figs there. So it's not to blame. So you want to know the meaning of this bit. Of this bit. So I don't understand. I don't understand the meaning of this bit. So I explain to you that gospel does not only include the parable where Jesus Christ speaks about the truth, but gospel is full of facts, the historic facts. And in this case, gospel tells the fact when in the morning Jesus Christ was hungry, and in the morning he wanted to know whether there were some figs on the fig tree, and he didn't find anything, and it turned out that the time was not it was not the time to gather these figs. So what is the sense? That the fig tree has very interesting characteristics. Its ovary, the ovary of this tree, of its fruits, happen a bit earlier than the livery of this tree. And suddenly there are many leaves, but no fruits. So it means this fig tree was fruitless, and Jesus Christ said that you will never have fruits since you are fruitless. This is the fact. So it transpires that there are fruitless trees like fig trees. There are many leaves, but no fruits. But otherwise, there should be many fruits. And this is the fact, that you will not have any fruits in the future. This is the fact, just the real fact. It sometimes happens that many trees, no fruits. What's the result? So then, towards the outcome, you will know that you will have no fruits. And Jesus Christ said, so he dried out. It's a very simple thought, so you may not be worrying about it. So, it's great. One saint said, who? The saint said that every mind has got to have the limit of cognition not to die. Oh, who told this? Kailis Katafigiot. So, and I would like to ask you, how should we determine the limit of cognition not for our soul to die? In this case, these questions touching upon individual singularities of a man cannot be solved until we get to know these very peculiarities. So we have just been speaking about that we are doing, we have been doing everything miscellaneous. And it turns out that Isaac Sirin says that the soul can see in the measure of our living. So we are used to this way of life. So this is our brain. This is our brain, which longs to know everything, know, learn, etc. So the computer has got millions more information. This is the mistake. What should be primary and what should be secondary? When we die of something, for example, drought, so the drought will happen. What do we do? What are we looking for? We are looking for something which saves us from famine, and the only thing, the shipwreck. For example, the shipwreck, we're looking for the way to save ourselves. When we have deathly illness, what do we address? So we address someone who will save us from the disease. So how do we live? I'm interested in this and that. In this way, we have to orient ourselves into something. So if I am a Christian, so if I am a deathly man and everything is possible, so imagine that we live the last day, the last week, the last month. What would I do if I lived the last day? So this is the energy of our souls, of our mind. We have to focus on how our soul should be prepared for the entrance into what? Into the eternity of an absolute life and sanity. So what will I enter the place with? That's what we have to pay attention to. So if our mind needs work, we have to start learning, and I would suggest that you start learning Ignatiy Brynchaninov. So buy it, read it, make notes, write out his thoughts, which are interesting in the book. This is not the only thing. So this is our brain. And on the basis of this, we have to try to live. How do we have to learn to struggle with our thoughts? So it is interesting. How shall I learn to be able to treat a man whom I hate? So he's a bad guy. So what shall I do? So do you know how interesting the advice is? What shall I do about the man who did this, that, and that? And the answer, listen to the answer. You start praying for him in the following way. God, by holy prayers, have mercy upon him and upon me. Just listen, this is the advice. Just try, try. Christianity is an experienced science. It's a science full of experience. Just listen, I hate him. And this is a piece of advice which I get. God, by his holy prayers, have mercy upon him. So he doesn't even want to pray, but have mercy upon me and upon him as well. We have to experience this. For example, sufferings. How shall we treat our sufferings? How holy fathers teach us to treat suffering, diseases, catastrophes, everything. So shall I tell you? The first thing, there are three steps. Three steps up. I wish that every step were known and possible to do. So the first step, when anything happens, in no way, do not blame anyone of what happened. We should not blame God, not neighbors, not co-workers. So these betrayals, though that's clear, in no way, just try to keep yourself from it and not do blasphemies. So why did you send me this suffering? This is the first step. In no way, never ever do any anger against other people and God. The first, the lower step. Do you want the second one? Okay, I will tell you the second one. The second step is, it is very important to dig into yourself, into your life. So, did I do anything bad? Well, yes, it happened once or twice, sometimes, in connection to other people. Did I do anything to other people? Yes, I did, and I had feelings and thoughts, and I wished. Yes, the second step. Oh God, now I understand. So I deserve what I did. That is the second step. I deserve what I did. The bandit who was crucified said it, confessed it. What did he get in response? So today you'll be with me in paradise. This is the second step. Oh God, give me what I deserve by my deeds. So is it difficult? Yes, it is difficult because I'm good, and suddenly, well, give me by my deeds. I didn't do anything substantial. So this is the saint. The second step. If you wish, I can tell you about the third one. Oh yes, we do want. So I don't know whether I will, whether to tell you or not. Okay, tell us, please, tell us, Professor. So if you promise that you will climb up the third step, okay, I will tell you. The third step, since I understand that I get what I deserve, but I believe that nothing can happen to me what would be as a revenge from God, as a punishment. Isaac Sirin writes, God never does anything in revenge, and what he does is only for our sake, for the sake the deed will bring to a man. Nothing in revenge, only for our sake. And if I believe that that you, God, is really love, anything which is happening to me is happening not out of a song. It happens what I deserve, sure, for sure, but it happens out of your love, since you are a doctor, my God, not a punisher. So that's the third step. God, I thank you. I thank you for what happened to me. I thank you. I'd like to tell you that the those who really, during hardships, sufferings, straightly start telling God, I thank you. I thank you, God. So he will be telling hundreds, thousands of times. Those will make sure very quickly how our hearts and spiritual suffering would leave our body and our soul, and what was my spiritual suffering turns into consolation and a bigger gratitude to God. That's what Christianity is. Christianity is a science stemming from experience. If you want, you may check it out. So you all have sufferings. Yeah, you all have sufferings. I thank you. I thank you, God. I'm grateful to you, God, hundreds, thousands of times, 200 times, and you will see that on the first step there is an objection, a denial from your soul. Then it starts having consolation, and then a man from his whole heart and mind starts being grateful to God, and the sufferings of our soul leaves our spirits, and the circumstances change what did happen. So now we know about all three steps. So I will not do anything, so you do this. So this is the most important piece of advice, and Artem Brenchaninov recommends this for sure, we do it for sure. So you see what way out Christianity gives us. So without Christianity, a man suffers and suffers and suffers, and so we just have to unburden our soul from this suffering. So that's what we Orthodox people know about this. Only we Orthodox people know about this. What is the settling of the most difficult issue of our life? This is the example, just the example for you. Okay, can I have a question to you, please? You know, I have read through your book by heart, only by heart, only if you learned it by heart. No, I learn only poems by heart, so I regret this. It was a big difficult for me to read when you were speaking about the difference between the Orthodox and Catholic religions. You set an example of Francisco of Assisi. So he had stigmas on his body because of his being suggestible from the point of view of psychiatry. But when you were speaking about any other Russian saint, so for example, he heard the voice of bells from the sky, which was heard by other saints, and it was written in your book like a certain voice from the sky. but it could also be something of a suggestible nature, or I don't understand anything. So these are absolutely different things. This is just a different thing. One thing is the people, the stigmatics who are who are connected with psychic strains of the mind, and just read Nikon Vorobyov. He was, when he was young, he was looking for the sense of life, and he, together with his students, were doing yoga in their youth. There were five friends, and one of them reached very good results, and he set an example that in a separate room, absolutely silent one, they gathered once, and this student made an experiment. They sat in a circle, being silent. This student put his hand and said, "And now I am concentrating my attention upon my hand. This is it. This on this hand, and that, and that's it. And we sat still. And in front of us, the we see that there is reddening, which becomes more powerful, then the hand becomes redder, and then we were shocked when we saw a blistering rising gradually from the hand, from his hand, the blistering which became bigger, and blistering blew out. By power of what? By power of a thought. Yes. So don't we know how our thoughts influence us? We may stay insomniacs because of our thoughts. Our hands start shaking because of our thoughts. What Francisco of Assisi said, he said, so the main idea of his feet means compassio. He saw the sense of Christianity in compassion with Jesus Christ, not in healing our sinness, no, the in compassion. When he had apparition, he was asking God about two mercies. The first mercy was, God, give me the chance to experience all those tortures which you suffered for us. The second mercy was, give me the chance to experience the whole love in the sake of which you experienced all the tortures. Neither of these prayers does not correspond to the experience of teachings of the Holy Fathers of the first century, when there was no split of the Church, since one of the theses of Holy Fathers, those who does not recognize themselves as having sins are not accepted by God. So a man gets mercy from God in the measure of what he deserved. So we cannot stand when a cat or dog is tortured in front of us. We cannot stand it. So compassion is another category. It's quite another category. It's about psychic and nerves. What Christianity speaks about passions and envy. So my blood was boiling with envy. So do you remember how I get green? Do you remember in the Divine Comedy by Dante? So that's another thing. That's a different thing. This is psychiatry. Things like stigmas are just a natural expression, especially psychophysical aspiration, by means of which the very concentration can lead to these things. But it's another thing. But there, we didn't even think about it. I mean, do you know what it is about? Father Superior Nikon reached to despair. Science doesn't do the sense of life, and the philosopher himself doesn't search into the sense of life and God. You see that, so whether you exist or not, tell me whether you exist or not, and God opened up for him. By the way, do you know he became a monk in 1931 when everyone was sent to exile to penal servitude? That is the power, and God opened up for him. He was not looking for any ring of bells, but he really suddenly heard the ring of a bell. And he said, I thought there was a church nearby, but I saw that it was 1 a.m. There could be no ring of bells. Thank you very much, Professor. Thank you very much indeed for your lecture.